This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Michigan State University President Luana Simon resigned last night amid the fallout from the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal. Yesterday, before that news broke, I spoke with public relations professional Rick Chambers, the owner and president of Rick Chambers & Associates in Kalamazoo, about crisis communication. That interview is coming up. But first, stories of sexual harassment have come from many different places and professions. The Gongwer News Service recently found that female lawmakers and staff at the state capitol have been subjected to sexually charged comments. Gongwer staff writer Alethea Caspin joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Hello, Alethea.
Hey, Gordon.
So let's begin with the origins of this story. Were you just kind of looking into what was happening at the Capitol, or had you heard some specific stories about what female lawmakers and staff were subjected to?
You know, anecdotally, I think most people covering the Capitol have heard either sexist comments, sexually inappropriate comments. We hear that that is happening to people. So that was definitely in the back of my mind as sexual harassment stories from industries around the country were starting to come up. And a lot of female lawmakers did post on Facebook and Twitter during the Me Too movement that they had been, maybe not at work, but had been subjected to either harassment or other types of misconduct. So that was part of the reason that we wanted to look into, you know, what's really happening in the Capitol.
Were there women who were reluctant to talk to you on the record, have their name put with the story out of fear of retaliation or something else?
Yeah, I think a lot of women are not super comfortable talking about what is happening at the Capitol. I talked to a lot of women anonymously, and you know, a lot of women also didn't get back to me if I called them about this story.
So how hard is it for someone who has been subjected to a series of comments, perhaps have been sexually harassed, to make a complaint to try to get some sort of resolution to that?
So each branch in the legislature, the Senate and the House, have business offices which handle their HR departments. So they can make complaints to either their direct supervisor or the business offices themselves. So it's not necessarily that it's difficult to make a complaint. It's more, I think, staff especially is concerned that something may not happen. There might not be any consequences for someone, particularly a lawmaker, if they are making inappropriate comments.
And State Senator Margaret O'Brien from this area spoke to you for this story and said that she's had a couple of times where male lawmakers or staff have said something to her she felt was inappropriate. She dealt with them. She didn't name anybody. She also said that she thought that the workplace environment for her as a woman in the legislature has improved. But she said it's difficult to know what it's like for staff. Do staff members and maybe the people around them feel that they're in a little different position?
Yeah. So Margaret, Senator O'Brien, she talked about how she dealt with the situation herself. I think when you look at female lawmakers, that is generally how they might deal with this. They go to their colleague and they say, that was inappropriate. Please don't say something like that again. And they move on. A staffer might not be as comfortable going up to an elected official who could potentially be their boss or a friend of their boss and say, you know, you should not say that to me. But they also don't feel comfortable generally going to make a complaint. So a lot of times, if it's against a staffer, this is just going going unreported. And they don't feel comfortable because the business offices are working at the pleasure of the speaker or the Senate majority leader. They think that politics is involved. They don't see a path toward real consequences if it is a lawmaker making these statements.
Is there anything being done right now to address that, or is there at least some talk of trying to reform the process and perhaps make sure that it's a little more comfortable for someone to come forward?
Yeah, generally, both business offices, I think, are taking this seriously even before my story, but just with what is going on around the country, looking at their sexual harassment policies and how they can improve their training. And at the same time, the Women's Progressive Caucus in the House has sent a letter to the House Business Office talking about different changes that they think need to be made. One of those being having some sort of third-party person who staff members could talk to that maybe at least appears more removed from the political structure of the House. The problem with that is no matter how you look at it, the House is still going to be paying that person. They're still going to be hiring that person. It is hard to get a completely separate entity to handle this.
Your story lists some of the things which might contribute to this, the culture of the state legislature, working long hours, mostly men as elected officials, parties and dinners with plenty of drinking. Focusing on that middle one there for a moment, this is still an area, the state capitol, where it is mostly men who work there, right? Not only as lawmakers, but on staff?
Yeah, so particularly with lawmakers in the Senate, we have 38 senators. Four of them are women. And in the House, we have 109 right now, normally 110. And a little more than 30 are women. Staff, you know, is a little bit more diverse. I think there is some more women on staff, but men are generally in roles of leadership and are running the show, so to speak.
Is there some sort of record that shows that at some point some male lawmaker has, behaved inappropriately and has been sanctioned in some way for it? Has that happened?
It has not happened on record. It has not happened in a way that I could find for this story.
You also noted a couple of specific allegations and actually reached out to some of the male lawmakers who were accused. Did any of them own up here and say that maybe at some point they did do something that was not appropriate?
No, no one admitted to saying anything inappropriate. I did have two former representatives, Sarah Roberts, a Democrat from Macomb County, and Rashida Tlaib, a Democrat from Detroit, and both of them made allegations against lawmakers who they did name, Senator David Kinesic, former Rep. Paul Clemente, and Representative John Bumstead, who Representative Roberts did say she filed a complaint against a Republican lawmaker, and I later confirmed it was former Rep. Bumstead. And both Representative Bumstead and Senator Kinesic, you know, denied doing anything.
In the case of Senator Kinesic, he did not actually talk to you, right?
He did not. He responded through a spokesperson who called the allegations ridiculous and baseless.
Going back to some of the culture at the state capitol, how much does alcohol play a factor here? Are people often in situations where, you know, there might be an open bar and perhaps somebody has a little too much to drink and then, you know, inhibitions are lowered and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think the fundraisers, the parties, going out with alcohol involved, that definitely helps blur the line here where people don't necessarily know what's appropriate. And from my reporting, I heard, you know, the parties where there was alcohol going out after session or going to fundraisers, that's where you started to hear, oh, this happened to so-and-so, you know, this person said this to another staffer.
And the long hours, are people perhaps spending enough time with each other that someone gets the idea that they're a little too, I don't know, maybe they're more comfortable than they should be around a female lawmaker or a female staff member, that they can say something that they, you know, might say to somebody, who they know better, a close friend, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a very unique work environment. You have sessions that can run, you know, 24 hours working overnight. You feel this sort of team loyalty also. So staffers might, you know, they go out to dinner with these people. They're texting all the time. It's not like a typical work environment in the private sector. When I talked to Senator O'Brien, she mentioned that too. And she said, you know, there's just an over familiarity with among staffers and lawmakers. And, you know, what she said, which I think really got to the point, is it is a unique work environment, but it is still a work environment.
That can't be lost in all of this. There's still a level of professionalism that should be maintained no matter how comfortable people feel around each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a note on this story where you ask people who might have been harassed at the state capitol to get in contact with Gongwer. Are you hoping that you can do more on this?
I am. I think that there are a lot more stories out there. I think that there are potentially worse stories than what I wrote about. I wrote about some inappropriate comments. I think there could be more going on that is either worse or more consistent. There could be people who make comments often and could be a problem that needs to be fixed.
One of the things we have seen with the Me Too movement is once a couple of stories come out, other people do come forward and say, yes, I've had similar experiences. Do you think that maybe we are just at the beginning with the state capitol in terms of perhaps we're hearing just the first couple stories and that more may be coming soon?
Possibly. I think people might be more willing to speak when they see two former representatives speaking on the record. But, you know, also House and Senate business offices are working at fixing this, or at least trying to make their policies stronger. So it could also be a possibility that people want to see if the system can work itself out.
Did you get the sense from people in leadership that they are looking at this, taking it seriously, that they've heard enough stories themselves that they think something needs to be done?
I did not reach out to legislative leadership, but certainly the business offices are taking it amongst themselves to look at this and improve their policies, which they do have to have some level of okay from legislative leadership.
What's your big takeaway from this, Alethea? As you talk to these people, you hear their stories, and then you also talk to some of the people who've been accused. What would you kind of say is the big lead on this, if you were going to try to put it that way?
Just that this is happening and inappropriate comments are being made, inappropriate behavior is happening more often than I think most people would expect in the Capitol.
Alethea, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Gordon.
Alethea Caspin is a staff writer for the Gongwer News Service. She joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing.